glad that wasn't on the air.
God's good. And well, if you don't mind, I'll just open the word. We'll get back to singing when I'm done. Is that all right? And some worship. And I just want to enjoy the Lord. You know, I look back, and I know it was only a month, almost 2 months, you know, when I first came to church that I really didn't enjoy more of endure. But I wish I was able to then. I mean, thank God it was only a couple of months, but I wish I was able just to jump into it, you know, because he's just so good. And there's nothing to fight here. Praise God. There's nothing to fight. Don't fight against God. Don't fight against the Word of God. Don't worry about what he might correct doctrinally, if you have any doctrines at all. Or philosophically, what philosophies you have in life at all. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about what might change. Just be concerned about, I need some more honey. I need a little taste of honey. We just got to learn to enjoy it. Too many stressed out people. I'm around a lot of stressed out people sometimes. I just see stress everywhere. People that are just, I just want to say, what is going on upstairs that you're just so like tight as a banjo string? And if we know the truth, we know how to loosen the strings. I want to enjoy this thing. I'm not coping with life, and he's not helping me just get through life. I told you before, he's nobody's patch. He's bigger than that. But it all depends on what he is, as we'll share in a moment, but it's what you do with it. Now, some people could be handed $1 million and they'll be broke tomorrow, worse than they ever were before, when they were living paycheck to paycheck. So it's not the $1 million that's the problem. It's whose hands it's in. And the same thing goes with truth. You can have a wonderful walk with God, or you can have problems that you don't need to have. You can have enough as it is. You don't need to add to it. Right. When I come to church, I want to enjoy this thing. When I get around the saints, I want to enjoy this thing. Praise God. I want my expectation levels to be so high. Thursday night, Sunday afternoon, and where's the more services coming? Praise God. Let's get it on. Amen. I want that excitement. Right, my cup overfloweth. It runneth over. And we ought to. We're the people of God. Amen. Amen. And there's great expectation. Amen. So let's stand and praise him just another moment before I start reading. Let's just love him. Oh, God, we want to enjoy this today. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Amen. He's so good. We're going to go to Ephesians 6 again, and maybe I'll try to get to the message this time. At least the one I had on my mind. God had other plans, and that's priority. You're right, Brother Bradley. He's mighty. And don't ever think that when you either sing or you testify or you live or you pray that the world's not going to try to come at you mighty. It's just our mighty is bigger than their mighty. You don't know how many times we can preach a sermon and then all of a sudden a response comes to that sermon through the spirits of unjust men. As the enemy says, we'll see about that. And tries your soul. That's why the Word of God teaches us that our faith, our walk with God, is going to be tried. And when it happens, don't be so naive and be so shocked by it. We are not of this world. So when we step out of this world, we're a bigger target for the world and for darkness. So that when it does happen, it's not just always life that happens, but it's life with flavor that happens because we have come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it is that light that's being attacked and spoken against. That's why the scripture says, don't be, you know, so surprised at that fiery trial, which is to try you. Praise God. Amen. You're going to make it. You're going to get through it. Hallelujah. And we're going to try to show you again, remind you, I should say, on how to do it. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to go back to verse 10 or verse 12. No, where am I? I'm in the wrong book, wrong chapter here. 6:10, here we go. That was in chapter 5. It was a good verse, though. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That goes along with this message. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because he has wiles. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Art, could you put a little more on that? I don't know if you took it back. I'll speak softer, but I don't want to try to struggle. I'm a little dry here. Yeah, that's fine. Just whatever it was before, just put it back. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Because you don't pray alone. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Because we're in the Spirit. The Spirit's in us. Try to receive that a little bit. When you go to prayer, you may feel what you feel, especially if things are not going so well. It's not always that way. Life's not always about things not going well. I'm just saying, if you're ever there, be careful about allowing your prayer time to be directed by and controlled by how you feel and how it looks. Because you might not say the things you would want to say when you were feeling pretty good on Sunday night church service. But on Wednesday morning, when you've been dragged through the mud for the last 2 days, your prayer might sound different. But try to kick yourself and remember, I still have the Holy Ghost. And let me just change my tune a little bit. Praise God. And see how that directs you. I'm just saying, you're still, when you pray, praying in the Spirit. It's not like the charismatics like to teach it. And I'm not casting down a particular title. I'm just saying there are people who have tried to learn Jesus on their own, and they've learned a lot of wrong stuff. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'll stop here and just say, Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And it's kind of like when the day has settled, when the dust has settled, when you stop to take a breath and take account of your life, wherever you may be, young or old, or in between. Finally, that word's a pretty big word. Finally, let life find you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We may not always say it like that. We might say it, had not been for the Lord who was on my side, had not Jesus seen me through, had he not had my back, right? So when it's all said and done, wherever you are in your life, finally, my brethren, be at a place in your life where you say and you know, the Lord's got my back. And I'm living according to his power, and I'm walking according to his strength, and I'm living by his might. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. I think we could preach just on that one thought alone, right, for a few minutes, because it's the truth. When it's all said and done, no matter what's going on in your life, good, bad, or indifferent, where are you? Paul is saying, finally, be strong. If you're sucking your thumb, feeling sorry for yourself, and wallowing in your own tears, then maybe at some point get those tears wiped, for it is written, he shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. And hello, that only happens in this life. There's not going to be any tears in the next. Praise God. Amen. Hello. Put the scripture together. You cry in this life and in this life only. And then that carcass, that cries, is going to return to the dust from whence it came. It's not going to cry no more. But we've got something now, and that's why we can pray in the Spirit, because it is a Spirit that wipes away all tears from our eyes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So be strong in your spiritual box of Kleenex. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Where's that box? Hallelujah. Be back after this commercial. It's not. This is good, though. It adds to the message. I'm not going to say who it is for, just in case it might incriminate me. But it says, compare to Kleenex. Uh-uh. There's nothing that compares to the one who can wipe away all tears from your eyes. There's not a pill. There's not a drink. There's not a philosophy. There's not a doctrine. There's not a religion. Praise the Lord. That can wipe away all tears from your eyes. Not some of them. All of them. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I need the spiritual Kleenex. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. I want to be strong in the Lord finally. No matter what I've been through, no matter what's happened between born and death, that little dash, the closer we get to that ending date, be strong. Amen. Jude, I think it's verse 21. Read it in a moment to make sure I still have a memory left. But it says, keep yourself in the love of God. Isn't that what it said? Keep yourself. You've got to learn to keep yourself and stop whining like a little two-year-old to have somebody else keep you. We were somewhere today. We saw some babies. We listened to some babies crying. We saw one kind of throw a fit and just sit on the ground and just... And, you know, it's not a real cry. It's a, I don't want to do what you want me to do cry. And I want you to cater to me. At some point in Christian living, you just got to grow up. And God will cause you, he'll put you in circumstances and give you that choice. Sit there and cry and you'll be left behind. Or get up and do what I've asked you to do. I said, come on, we're still moving. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Amen. You can do. Oh, I don't have to go along. Oh, if you want to follow God, you want to go to heaven, you got to make a choice. You're going along. Amen. Nobody likes to listen to a whining kid all the time. And I don't want to be a whining kid. We're all children of God, but I don't want to be a whiner. I don't want to be a whiner. I got too much life to live. You've got too much life to live. We whine sometimes, but I don't want anybody to listen to me whine. I'll take my wine to the prayer room because I know somebody in there's got a Kleenex for me. And if the problem's me, I'll walk out of there strong and problem solved and corrected. Amen. Because that's the way the Lord works things. Amen. So, it's hard to get past one verse. Be strong, finally. So let's just move on. But finally, be strong. I hope you're hearing it in that way. That's what I'm trying to. Finally, be strong. When? Whenever. Whenever finally is, be strong. Praise God. So let that settle in. Now you can choose to be weak, but he's saying, the word is saying, be strong. And the word removes from us any excuse to be weak, oh, because of him, because of her, because of this, because of that. You know, I feel like putting my thumb in my mouth right now, talking like that. We need a bag of Binkies just to demonstrate, you know. Because the scripture talks about when we're weak, we can say we're strong. So we have no excuse for going before God and saying, I have a right to be this way. When the word says, no, I've got strength for you. My strength, he told Paul, right? 2 Corinthians 12, I believe it is. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Humanity's always been weak. But being converted, we get to walk in strong. And we get to overcome weak with strong at a personal level, not just a collective level as a church. But at an individual level, we have the power, the authority, and the might for this. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the only one that you can see saved is yourself. Hopefully, we can influence others into this kingdom. We all want to continue to do that. But we have no control over that. We do have control over us. All right. So we read here, put on the whole armor of God. So, you know, I like to just cut to the chase, so I'll say it. The whole armor of God is God. Pastors preached that before, so I'm not saying anything new here. I don't think I've ever preached anything new here since he's been gone. I know you're quiet. Maybe I have. I don't know. I'll have to go back in the tapes. Where'd you come up with that, man? But put on the whole armor of God. Sometimes when we read this passage, we get caught up with the description, you know, with the analogy, you know, because he talks about things we can understand as Jesus did. He always talked about sheep and lilies and grass and clothing and troubles and worry. And he never, if there was any preacher that could be eloquent and better than any preacher we've ever heard in our life, better than every preacher since the day of Pentecost until now. Anyone, if there was ever a preacher who could out-preach them all, it was the Lord Jesus. Yes. Amen? Yes. Now, we would have all loved to have had an audio recording of him. Probably wouldn't have understood what he was saying, speaking in Hebrew, but he never put himself in a place where he couldn't reach. Even though his sayings were in parables purposely for those that hearing, they might not hear. But for the others who wanted to hear, they received understanding. So in doing that, he was able to be who he was. And he didn't have to try to be more than that in speech. Because generally speaking, we're all just simple people. And we don't really need to always, I'm not bashing anybody who preaches at college at levels. I'm not. I mean, more power to them. Just be yourself. I just have a way of just being myself. So, and I'm not trying to be pastor. I'm not trying to be another preacher. But I am, as a child of God, I am sold on reaching. And the Lord taught me that lesson a long time ago in prayer, that preaching is preaching without the P in front of the rest of the word. It's reaching. Preaching is reaching. And if I'm not reaching, and that's a hard lesson to learn after you try to polish yourself and you try to preach a good sermon and you want people to shout and say, woohoo, be on their seats going, wow, what a sermon. And then at the end of the day, you realize, did I reach somebody? Or did I just put a good one over? And I'd rather sacrifice the good one over in order to teach and reach and cause somebody, when they get to those moments where they could be that two-year-old, instead they stand up and they go grab a spiritual Kleenex. And they gather strength. Then I know I've been successful. We have an armor that is God. We have an armor that is a walk with God. When he talks about the armor itself, he's just describing and putting labels to them, but not wanting us to get so caught up with the visual picture that we're caught up with the armor of a soldier that we miss the point of what he's trying to say. So always get to the point. What's the point? So whenever I'd read parables in times past, my question was, well, what's the point? What's the crux of the matter? What am I supposed to learn here? And then I can always backtrack and see how we got to teach the lesson and how he was trying to make the point and appreciate the way that he was able to tell a parable or a story and talk about things in order to describe pride or love or mercy or prayer or whatever. He knows how to teach lessons, so I can appreciate how he went about to do it as long as I can get the point of what he was trying to say. And so the point is, this is how, when you read verse 12 and you read the end of verse 11 about the wiles of the devil and what we're really wrestling against, it's real. What we're wrestling against is real. It's very real and in itself is very powerful. Not more powerful than what we have in God, but it's strong and it's mighty of itself. and can cause trouble and problems. If you don't believe that, look at our nation, look at the world. You just let people go crazy and watch what they do. And the powers that be, darkness just parades itself in the streets and does all sorts of crazy and ungodly stuff, right? Yes, we can be concerned about that, but I can be even more concerned about spiritual wickedness than might be in the church house. And that's the type of stuff I really don't want to see. But in order to endure this, in order to stand against this, let's look at it the way it's trying to be said so that you don't, in your mind, have a view of it that doesn't posture you correctly, if you will. This isn't really this passage isn't a defense. You know, if it was a football game, this wouldn't be the Apostle Paul, the defense coach, talking to the defensive part of the football team. It's not. It sounds like a defense, right? You put on the armor because you're trying to defend. But in the world of Christianity, we're an offensive. We really are. I mean, if the world of Christianity doesn't see it that way and they look at themselves as the minority amongst the vast numbers of the world, you're looking at it all wrong. Jesus was one man, and he came and spoiled darkness through the death of himself and destroyed him that had power of death, even the devil. That's what the scripture says. One guy.
Right.
Don't tell me darkness is greater than him. And don't tell me he put the church on the defensive. When he taught us to preach the gospel to every creature, because the gospel can go into every single nation, every single kingdom, every single tongue, and convert people from it. In so much that we read Revelation 7, because of the whole armor of God, we read about who are these that have come out of every nation, tongue, kindred, right, and race, crying hallelujah and holy and worthy is the Lamb. Praise God, that was slain. That doesn't sound like a defensive scripture. That doesn't sound like a team of church people and the church just trying to stop the enemy from making a touchdown. They're trying to stop us from making the touchdown. The enemy doesn't want us to talk to that household. The enemy doesn't want us to see your kids in the church. The enemy doesn't want to see your husband or your wife or your mama or your papa, sister or brother converted. That's why there's such a ruckus when the gospel comes. Oh God, they that have turned the world upside down are come here. That sounds like a defensive statement, not an offensive statement. That sounds like, oh God, here they come. And that's a good thing in this case. God's so good. Let's love him a moment.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I think I'm not shouting too much. But when we read these verses, let me read verse 11 and 12 again. I'm just a few minutes. We're going to break and pray and hope you have a good time. But I'm hoping, if I hope. See, I know, I don't know everything. I'm not God. So not everything can come to church that pastor knows everything. Especially if you got something that you don't want the pastor to know. I don't. I'm just telling you that right now, I don't. So just relax, rest. I'm not looking to see who's had a spat on the way to church. I'm not looking to see if parents and children are arguing or whatever, or if you've had a bad financial week or headache. I'm not looking for nothing. When we come together, my mind, and I believe your mind, is on, let's worship and have a great time. I'm not looking to think who's saved or lost. I am looking to say and to feel, be strong in the Lord. I want to feel the finally when we come together. Praise God. Because some of us come to church when we have said, finally, we've made that choice. I'm going to be strong. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to endure. For it is written, happy are ye which endure. Because at the end of my fiery trial, my faith is going to come out better than it was before I went through this whole mess.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. You know why? Because sometimes the enemy looks like he's on the offensive, and he gets his defensive team in order. And they go down there on the grass, and they try to be real tough, you know. They take their pose. stare at the offense, you know. You ever see the teams kind of scrimmage up, and then they break and they get into position? Ha, ha! You know, they're not there going, hey, man, what's up? Yeah, we'll see you after the game's over. There's no fun there. There's an intention there. We're going to get to you and your quarterback. And we're going to get the ball through some fumble and make the touchdown, and we're going to defeat you. Their intent is defeat. That's just the way the game works. And if we can have in our mind, and the quarterback can have in his mind, when he gets the ball, finally, be strong. And everything's all right. Ball game's over. Doesn't matter what you go through. Doesn't matter what you wrestle against, what you have to stand against, because that's the point. Having done all to stand, why? Because you're going to need to stand. And you're going to need to know how to stand. And today, for just a couple more minutes, I want to put your mind back on what you have, because what you have of God, if you armor yourself with it, is enough. It's what it takes to stand. You don't need anything extra. You don't need the non-name brand to help you get through. You don't even need another box. His tissues never run out. You ever notice that? How long have you been living for God? How many times have you gone to the prayer room and cried? Did he ever say, ah, oh, man, I didn't go to the store, sister. I'm so sorry. You know, I got a lot of other people, and they just, some of them really use them up. Just give me a few minutes, I'll run out to Walmart. Meanwhile, you got that defensive team growling at you. We're going to crush you. You don't think the enemy speaks nice to you? They don't send you heart emojis. They don't send any care and love. We're going to fumble. We're going to cause a fumble and take the ball from you. Angel Smiley. No, they... You're getting the red mean faces. You're getting the thumbs down. You're getting the... Right? That's the enemy. He'll never, ever, ever be anything but that to you. Because tactics of the enemy have always been the same. Have always been intimidation. That's why the scripture says, cast not away therefore your confidence, right? Hebrews 10 and believe 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, right? Because if he can get your confidence level to be down, you'll make mistakes. And you won't return the position in the same, you can growl all you want to. I'm plowing you over. Isn't that right? We sing it. We sing it all the time. All these wonderful songs about Jesus' name, right? And songs against Satan, just beat it. But when you got to face them, when you got to face the spiritual wickedness, what do you do with it? How do you overcome it? Is that when you go back to Ephesians 6 and you scramble and say, I need my helmet and my breastplate and I need my shield and, oh, God, just help me get through this. I could see, we could dig Paul up. He'd probably walk around you if you were acting like that and go, what are you talking about? I didn't write it to the Ephesians with that in mind. I finished by just reading and making a few more comments. Thank you for listening. I believe you get the point. Watch. Put on the whole armor of God. God is the armor. And in God, the scripture says, right? God is light. 1 John 1 and 5. 1 John 4 and 16, God is love. So put on the whole armor of light. Put on the whole armor of God, right? John 4, 24, God is a spirit. Put on the whole armor of the spirit of God. So all it's saying is put on everything that's in God. Put it. Make sure you're wearing it. Make sure you've got it. Make sure it's flourishing. Praise God. Make sure you're walking in it. Make sure you're living in it. Make sure you're obedient to it. Because if you are, you'll be able to stand against all the wiles, the cunningness of the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll have the watch. The scripture says in Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, right? Gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. We've got all this in God, all of this in our armor. We've got love in our armor, amen? We've got joy in our armor. We've got peace in our armor. We've got the ability to endure. We've got faith. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Watch. That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil because he's got wiles. Don't ever underestimate the loser. He's been doing this for a very long time. And he's got a lot of wiles. He's got a lot of tricks up his sleeves. He knows how to get to you if he can. He just knows it. He knows all the five senses and how to play them well. That's why we are to be crucified with Christ. And when we are, we live. And we allow the armor that's of God, that is God in us, and everything that's about this apostolic way, as we say it, all of that will cause us to stand and stand with his might. And we'll be sensitive to the things that are spiritual instead of the things that are carnal, where he plays. That's his playground. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so stop wrestling with yourself. Just live for God. That's what this is saying. I'm trying to simplify it so that you don't overlook it and just get caught up with the helmet and the breastplate and the shield and get all fancy with it and get all movie-like with it. No, forget all the theatrics and just listen to what the scripture is saying. You'll live for God better when you stop wrestling with your flesh and blood, number one. It's enough to deal with other people who are not walking with God, who are just well-versed in their flesh and blood. But the things that come out of them sometimes is beyond that. We're not wrestling against people. This is not a physical war. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would fight. But now my kingdom is not from here. And what we fight against is not also from here. It's beyond here. Amen. We wrestle against principalities or things in authority and power, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise God. Wherefore, since this is true, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And let me just comment on this here. Some people need to learn to do all. We're starting to, if you haven't seen it already with all of the stupidity that's happened for the last 4 years, you're going to see a lot of lazy people who get to trusting in government and other institutions that have begun to train new and younger generations how to have their hand out instead of their hand working. And you got a lot of slothfulness, and you got a lot of people who are not willing to do anything, nonetheless do all. Don't let that spirit get in you. We just need to learn to do whatever it takes. You remember when you had that whatever it would take attitude when you first got converted? Don't ever lose it. Just because you get older doesn't mean you don't still need to do all to stand. Because one day you're going to reach a finally, and it's going to be finally, finally. Make sure when you get there, you are strong. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's so much to say here. I'm just going to rattle off a couple of things. So while you're thinking about him dressing the attire, think about the words here. The more important words are truth, righteousness, preparation of the gospel of peace, faith. That's what he's talking about. He's using a word to describe them, but he's talking about truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, will lead and guide you into all truth, the scripture says. John said in the third epistle, verse 4, he said, I have no greater desire than to hear that my children walk in truth, right? Truth. Sister Gloria read the other night Psalm 51, I believe it's verse 6, that he wants truth, for thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Praise God, right? And in the inward, you'll make me to know wisdom. Praise God. He desires truth in the inward parts. This is God. If there's no truth, if there's falsehood, he's not going to be pleased with you. But beyond that, if there's no truth, you're not going to have what it takes to stand. So what we need in order to stand is truth, right? We worship him in spirit, John chapter 4 again. in spirit and in truth. Because God knows if we become worshipers in spirit and in truth, worshipers in truth, not just one verse of scripture, it's a way of truth, right? Isn't Jesus the truth? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's saying, walk in this, be clothed in truth. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor. Not just, quote, talk scripture, but everyone be true. Don't tell somebody you love them when you don't. You're a liar and do not the truth. That's the word of God. So let none of that be in any of us, because that makes the same as something you don't want to be. So you just fix the inward man and get your Kleenex and get that hatred out of your spirit so that you can speak truth with your neighbor. Truth is a lifestyle. Truth. You don't speak truth and live as a hypocrite. Scripture calls you a liar, because hypocrites are liars. Liars. Hypocrites say, I am this, and they're not. That's a lie. You don't have to just tell a bold-faced lie. You can live a lie. And we know that no lie is of the truth. Isn't that right? I haven't left the scriptures, have I? I'm trying to hurry, though. No lie is of the truth. And we all know that all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. No such thing as a white lie, red lie, black lie, purple lie. All lies are lies. Amen. And you overcome the wicked one when you speak truth. And it's like, let me tell you something. There's nothing greater than you just living truth, because you know you're living in truth. You walk in confidence when you're walking in truth, because you know you're not living a lie. You're not living something else and try to pretend to be a Christian when in the background you're doing things that are not Christian. Praise God. And if you don't get this yet, you need to get it for yourself so that you're not here because others expect you to be here. When you want to be here, when you want to be in the kingdom of God, that's when you start having a real walk with God and a fellowship with God. That's when you're wearing the armor. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen. And this can tempt you, this can attract you, means nothing to you. Why? Because I'm marching towards heaven. I'm glory land bound. No worldly attraction can turn me around. It's in you. When this gets in you, praise God. That's what this is about. It's not having it on you. The devil can appear as an angel of light, a wolf in sheep's clothing, but he's still a wolf. Don't live like him. He's going to hell. Hallelujah. I got to stop. Loins girded about with truth, you see all the truth scriptures. So what I'm trying to say, it's about your walk. This is what you take to yourself. You take God, and you become a child of God. And this is what you do. This is what you have. It's nothing beyond what you have by conversion. It's about living it and possessing it and walking in it, right? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, as he is in the light. Walk as he is in the light. Walk as a child of light and not a child of the night. And you'll be okay, no matter what the devil throws at you. Here we go. And your feet shod with the preparation, having on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Righteousness is the absence of sin. We obtain the righteousness of God through conversion. This is where some of the religious world has a real hard time, and they have some sort of wart in their brain, because every time you talk about works and you mention certain things, all of a sudden they get into this victimized frenzy of answer, like, we can't be saved. We can never be saved. It's not about our righteousness. And you want to just tell them, look, that verse wasn't even written to you. All our righteousness is filthy rags was written to the Israelites through the prophets. Didn't even mention the Gentiles. We know they don't even have righteousness. Wasn't talking about that. It was talking about the righteousness which they were assuming being by the law. If I'm a follower of the law, I am righteous. That's why the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, well, what do I lack? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He was there to prove that I don't need what you're saying. I've done it all. But Jesus was smarter than him, of course, and said, but I'm looking at your soul. My soul says you love your riches. So I'm just going to make a comment to you and see how you deal with it. love your neighbor and honor your father and mother. He said, all these things I've done from my youth, what lack I yet? What he was saying was, I'm righteous, I'm okay. And Jesus said, you're not okay. You're as filthy as your rulers. And that's all he said. He said, well, if you are righteous, sell all that you have and come follow me. And he went away sorrowful. And Jesus knew he would. That's what this is talking about. The righteousness that comes from God that causes us to stand just in the eyes of God. Okay? And there's so much to say, but I'm trying to hurry here and not lose you. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Just think about key words here. Your feet shod with the preparation of the word of God, the gospel of what? Peace. Path of peace. It's saying gospel of peace. Everyone say peace.
Peace.
Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. If peace is something absent from your nature, the whole box is for you. You're going to need it. Because the path of the people of God is a path of peace. You leave a path of peace behind you, you create one before you. And if peace has not found its place in your spirit, you need to go back and realize love, joy, peace is a fruit of God in you. You might want to go back to the armor closet, make sure you haven't taken it off and hung it up. Hello? I want, when I get around people of God, I expect peace coming from your spirit. Because Christ is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And if there's no peace in you, there's nothing but strife and contention and anger and wrath. I say, where is your armor? Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not saying anyone here doesn't have on the armor. I'm just making a point to church because we understand the language. But praise God. I expect it in the world because they don't have the armor of God. I expect wrath. I expect confusion. I expect anxiety there. And I've got what it takes to have my offense stand against that. And above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See God's language? I love God's language. It's those little things that we don't, you know, because sometimes our attitude is, since I've been using this all afternoon, right? Our attitude is, all the fiery darts, not one or two. So why am I squinting as if something's going to get me? You don't think faith is this big, do you? If I take faith, I'm covered head to toe, 360, top, bottom, and trusting in God, right? Listen to all the scriptures that represent what faith is. Faith without works is dead. I do what I do no matter what because I know whom I have believed in and persuaded. That's faith. So faith quenches, right? When you quench something, you snuff it out. You snuff it out. With faith, you'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked because they're going to send them your way. It might be through deeds. It might be through words. It might be through circumstances. The question is, do you have on your armor? And are you going to do whatever it takes to stand? Hallelujah. We watched the news. You know Israel has the dome. Thank God for it because you got some real parasites who want to take them off the planet. I mean, hundreds of missiles just shooting in. If you didn't see those explosions in the sky being stopped by the dome, which I think is a magnificent idea, by the way. Thank God for it. But look at that as your shield of faith. Right? The whole. Take unto you the whole. Because if you do, you'll stand. That makes sense to everybody? What God wants you to also hear from his word is when he gives you what he gives you, he gives it to you so that you can be an overcomer more than a conqueror, a thriver, not a survivor. He's not giving you this little bitty shield thing. You know, back in the day, the Israelites had a little shield, you know, and they wore it on their arms for combat against swords enough to, but our shield quenches everything that's sent our way, all of them. And I love his terminology. It didn't say, you'll just barely stop all the stuff the enemy wants to try to do and beat you down. You know. It says, with faith, you'll quench. I love that. It's like he walks up to the enemy, you know, and just goes, whew. Now what are you going to do? Fiery dart. Rah! Right? Mm. The Lord just walks up and goes, because greater is he. Watch, this is the armor talking. When you have the armor of God, this is the language that comes from the armor. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And that's why David walked up and said, I don't care what you think of me. I want to talk to you about my armor. That's why he didn't walk out there with King Saul's armor. He says, it's not good enough. I haven't proved it, but I want to show you today what I have proved. The God that delivered me out of the lion and the bear is going to bring you down. I come to you in the name of my armor. Let's stand and worship him. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praying always with all prayer and supplication keeps the armor fresh. That's where we polish the shield and the helmet and the mail, the coat of mail.
Thank you, Lord.
It's where it all gets spruced up and stays nice and clean, huh? You ever see certain people are just so fanatic about their cars and their home and certain things. They're always dusting, always polishing, and the cars, it drives out of the driveway immaculate. Yes. And if it's not, I mean, they could see a spot of dust on the car a mile away, and they'd be back up there. That's us, though, spiritually. Prayer, you may not realize it's happening, but prayer is like, that's your gymnasium. You leave prayer buffed up. No chin. Look, I've worked in the gym, out in the gyms before, and I've seen some guys so big that they don't practically have a neck. There's so much muscle up there, they've created muscle upon muscle upon muscle, they can't turn their head. They have to turn their body. Hey, man, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
And their deltoids are the size of the moon at full moon, you know, both sides. And they have that, you know, 800 milligram or 800 gram protein shake.
Thank you.
Just everywhere. Prayer and supplication with perseverance. Those words we overlook. We just read quick. Perseverance means keep going. Thank keep praying.
Yes.
Yeah, but it hurts. Yeah, but keep lifting.
Amen, amen.
But it hurts, right? It's supposed to. It's called resistance. That's how you build muscle. You don't build muscle like we talked about before, just going through the motions and just showing up and being there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You walk out and you didn't even gain a quarter of an ounce of muscle tissue because you never tore anything. You were just there.
Mm-hmm.
Where everyone else was doing the tearing and the pushing and the pulling and the lifting and the squatting. And the, you were there thinking, I'll never do that, but I'm going to be here just drinking my protein shake. What a mighty God we serve. It feels good to do that. A lot of people say, I like to come to church. I love gospel music. What are they? They're just at the gym. They're just present, but they're not working out. Can we sing a song? I don't want to stop the flow here. Can we do hallelujah anyhow? If that be all right? And let's worship, and I welcome whoever can make room to pray and seek God, whatever you need today. I wasn't trying to be theatrical, but I just wanted to talk to you a little bit and just say, put on God. Praise God. Some people just need a 2x4 sometime to say, you know, settle down, live for God. Get in church, choose a church, settle down, let the truth help you. Nobody's strong in God by bouncing around and not allowing their soul to be settled. I'm not talking about visiting other places. I'm talking about where you get settled in church.